From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We were definitely happy that they moved in the right direction by permanently deactivating the Scorpion unit, but that means they can deactivate all of them. So the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion unit, and they need to all be disbanded as well.
As the Memphis Police Department disbands its Scorpion unit after the fatal police beating of Tyree Nichols, we'll look at the rise of the warrior cop with author Radley Balco, who's documented the increasing militarization of America's police forces. Then, here in New York, a special unit designed to protect trans women at the Rikers Island Jail has fallen apart, stranding many trans women in male jails where they've been harassed and raped. Then, we'll talk about the debt ceiling.
The debt ceiling dispute between President Biden and Speaker McCarthy is mostly political theater. Hidden behind all of it, a movement that shifts the burden of our government off of corporations and the rich onto all the rest of us. That's what should be being discussed and debated.
We'll speak with economist Richard Wolff about the debt ceiling, the economics of the Ukraine war, and more. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's meeting with Mahmoud Abbas and other Palestinian leaders in the city of Ramallah in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Blinken's visit comes just days after the Palestinian Authority ended its security coordination with Israel following a spate of killings by Israeli forces. In the latest violence, Israeli forces shot 26-year-old Palestinian Nassim Abu Fouda in the head Monday morning at a checkpoint in the occupied southern city of Hebron. The Palestinian Ministry of Health reports so far this year Israeli soldiers and settlers have killed 35 Palestinians, including 8 children and an elderly woman. On Monday, Blinken met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem, where he reiterated U.S. support for Israel remains ironclad.
Throughout the relationship between our countries, what we come back to time and again is that it is rooted both in shared interests and in shared values. That includes our support for core democratic principles and institutions, including respect for human rights, the equal administration of justice for all, the equal rights of minority groups, the rule of law, free press, a robust civil society.
Many of Blinken's remarks were drawn word for word from previous State Department statements. His meeting with Netanyahu came just days after State Department spokesperson Vedant Patel refused to describe Palestinians in the West Bank as living under Israeli military occupation. In Pakistan, the death toll from Monday's suicide bombing in the northwestern city of Peshawar rose to 95 after first responders ended their rescue and recovery operation. A local official said more than 225 people were also injured in the attack, which tore through a packed mosque inside a police and government compound. Most of the dead were police officers. An offshoot of the Taliban, known as the TTP, claimed responsibility for the massacre. In Iran, human rights groups are demanding authorities throw out the convictions against 3 young men sentenced to death for their involvement in anti-government protests that erupted in September after the death of Mahsa Amini in police custody. Their cases are detailed in a new Amnesty International report, which denounces Iranian authorities for torturing 3 men and denying them a fair trial. The report describes 19-year-old Mehdi Mohammadi Fard was raped and beaten so brutally by prison guards he had to be taken to the hospital. The 2 others, 18-year-old Arshia Takhtistan and 31-year-old Javad Ruhi, have also been subjected to horrific beatings in prison. The 3 were denied the right to choose their lawyers to fight the charges, and their hearings lasted less than an hour. President Joe Biden has informed Congress he'll end the national emergency and public health emergency declarations over COVID-19 in mid-May, and will ask the federal government to treat the coronavirus as an endemic threat. The announcement comes after lawmakers repeatedly rejected requests from the Biden administration for billions of dollars in additional aid to combat the pandemic, including funding for free COVID vaccines and testing. Last year, COVID-19 remained the 3rd leading cause of death in the United States for the 3rd year in a row, surpassed only by heart disease and cancer. On average, the disease is killing more than 3,500 people per week across the United States. In Tennessee, the Memphis Fire Department's terminated two EMTs and a fire department lieutenant over their roles in the killing of Tyree Nichols, the 29-year-old African-American father who was fatally beaten by police on January 7th after a traffic stop. Memphis fire officials say an internal investigation revealed the first responders, quote, failed to conduct an adequate patient assessment of Mr. Nichols, unquote. Video shows the EMTs walking away from Tyree and leaving him on the ground as he roils in agony. Meanwhile, the Memphis Police Department's revealed a sixth and seventh officer were suspended after Tyree's killing. One of the officers, Preston Hemphill, who's white, participated in the initial traffic stop and fired his taser at Tyree. Hemphill was recorded saying, quote, I hope they stomp his ass, referring to Tyree. An initial police report filed just hours after Tyree's violent arrest shows wide discrepancies between the claims of the officers and what video from the scene reveals. The video shows no evidence Tyree tried to fight the officers or reach for their guns, as the arrest report alleges. On Monday night, residents gathered to remember Tyree in a candlelight vigil at the site of his killing. Pastor Charita McCoy helped organize the protest.
I want peace. She spoke peace. I represent peace. I want to see that in the city of Memphis. I want to see peace in families. They're hurting families behind this. They're hurting cities behind this. They're hurting. The nation is hurt.
In New Jersey, racial justice advocates and the family of Carl Dorsey, an unarmed black man who was killed by Newark police New Year's Day 2021, are calling on the U.S. attorney to launch a civil rights investigation into the case. This comes after a New Jersey grand jury last week decided not to indict Newark police detective Rod Simpkins for fatally shooting Dorsey 2 years ago. Simpkins was undercover and in an unmarked police minivan when he arrived at the scene after reportedly hearing gunshots. Within seconds of exiting his car, Officer Simpkins fired his gun at Dorsey. It's unclear if he first announced himself as a police officer. To see our coverage of this case, go to democracynow.org. In Madagascar, at least 25 people have been killed and tens of thousands displaced by a tropical cyclone that made landfall last week. The storm also decimated crops and cut off major roads. In New Zealand, Auckland residents are bracing for more downpours after record rains killed at least four people and triggered flash floods and landslides. New Zealand's new prime minister, Chris Hipkins, said Monday global heating is to blame for the extreme weather.
Climate change is real. It's with us. It's having an impact on our weather. We are seeing more of these extreme weather events. We're going to have to deal with more of these extreme weather events in the near future. We need to be prepared for that. And we need to do everything that we can to combat the challenge of climate change.
In Mexico, relatives of two land defenders who've been missing since January 15th are demanding authorities investigate their abductions and bring them back alive. Ricardo Arturo Lagunes Gasca, a human rights lawyer and environmentalist, and Antonio Diaz Valencia, an Aquila indigenous leader, were last seen 2 weeks after leaving a community meeting in the state of Michoacan against mining in the region. Witnesses said the environmentalists were followed and threatened by a group of men, their vehicle later found abandoned with several bullet holes. Their family members have accused transnational mining company Ternium of complicity in the kidnappings. The steel manufacturer has faced mounting opposition from community members who say Ternium's mining operations have destroyed the environment, triggered health issues, and brought violence to the region. Here in New York, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office is presenting evidence to a grand jury about a $130,000 hush payment Donald Trump sent to adult film actress Stormy Daniels through an intermediary. The renewed investigation signals Trump could face criminal charges for violations of campaign finance law. In 2018, Trump's former personal attorney and fixer Michael Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to charges of tax evasion, bank fraud, and lying to Congress about the hush money payments. Cohen has said Donald Trump directed him to make the payments through a shell company shortly before the 2016 presidential election. In France, hundreds of thousands of people marched through the streets of cities nationwide today as unions went on strike to protest a bid to slash pension benefits. President Emmanuel Macron has proposed raising the age of retirement from 62 to 64 years old and refused to back down earlier this month when more than a million people took part in a similar nationwide strike. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of workers are poised to strike across the United Kingdom Wednesday after members of the ruling Conservative Party advanced legislation that would allow the government to break strikes by ensuring workplaces maintain minimum services during work stoppages. On Monday, Labour MP Zara Sultana joined a protest against the anti-worker bill outside the Prime Minister's Downing Street residence.
The Tories know that their program is unpopular. They know that workers are getting angrier. They know that the public doesn't want a government that sacrifices people and planet for profit. So they want to crush us. They want to crush dissent. They want to rob us of our rights and stop us from fighting back.
And finally, in New York, dozens of asylum seekers continued a peaceful demonstration Monday outside a Manhattan hotel where they'd been living for weeks until city officials suddenly evicted them over the weekend to move them to a remote camp at a cruise terminal in Red Hook, Brooklyn. A warehouse facility has been filled with 1,000 cots, head to toe. Asylum seekers said there's no heat, no space for them to safely store their personal belongings. Dozens are sleeping on the sidewalk outside the Watson Hotel, pleading with the city to provide permanent and humane housing as well as job permits so they can make a living. Democracy Now!'s Maria Teresena and Sanji Lopez were on the ground as police barricaded the hotel and forced several asylum seekers to board buses to be taken to the new camp. Others refused to go. This is Jimena Bustamante, mutual aid organizer and founder of the Undocumented Women's Fund.
Many of them have already jobs in the area, and, you know, like, they have built community around here, and actually they cannot be forced because there is in New York a right to shelter. However, you know, there have been police called here to intimidate them, and they have stood their ground. They are camping outside.
Mutual aid organizers have rallied in solidarity with the asylum seekers and have vowed to fight the evictions. This is Yahaira Saavedra, co-founder of La Morada Mutual Aid Kitchen.
The police is obviously used to intimidate us. They wanted to conduct a sweep here, but we have a lot of mutual aid, a lot of people in solidarity who stopped the sweeps.
Ivan, an asylum seeker from Venezuela, said he was assaulted Sunday night by a security guard working at the Watson Hotel.
I was filming the men who were being loaded onto buses. Several of us were filming them. When a security guard, a staff member from the Watson Hotel, assaulted me, he tried to take my cell phone. When I tried to move it away from him, he punched me back here. He punched me really hard.
Meanwhile, another group of asylum seekers shared an exclusive video recording with Democracy Now! Of a Watson Hotel staff member telling them the city's not giving them other options and that the hotel had to be emptied out to carry out construction.
The city is not giving you any more options. They want everything here to be emptied out because they have to demolish everything. They're bringing construction crews.
New York officials are reportedly planning to use the hotel to house asylum-seeking families with children. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, we'll go right into the story of the first story we bring you today. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we're going to Tennessee. Fallout from the fatal police beating of Tyre Nichols continues to grow. The Memphis Fire Department has terminated 2 EMTs and a fire department lieutenant over the roles in the incident. The police department has also placed 2 more officers on administrative leave. 5 Memphis police officers had already been fired and faced murder and kidnapping charges. The 5 officers were all members of a special unit known as Scorpion, which stands for Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in our neighborhoods. On Saturday, Memphis disbanded the Scorpion unit a day after the city released the shocking police body cam footage of officers beating Tyre Nichols after a traffic stop. Activists welcomed the decision to shut down the Scorpion unit, but said much more is needed. This is Amber Sherman of the Memphis chapter of Black Lives Matter.
We
we're definitely happy that they moved in the right direction by permanently deactivating the Scorpion unit, but that means they can deactivate all of them. So the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion unit, and they need to all be disbanded as well. Because just by ending that unit, that's a good move, but then you still have these same task force who are doing that same terrorism, assaulting people, over-criminalizing the poor and black, the poor and low-income neighborhoods, mostly where black people live, because we are a majority black city. We want to make sure all of those are disbanded so that citizens can actually be safe.
Increased scrutiny of the Scorpion unit in Memphis has prompted reports from other residents stopped by the same unit. Days before Tyre Nichols was stopped, Cornell McKinney told WREG the same unit violently pulled him out of a car at a gas station where he was picking up a pizza and threatened to arrest him for drugs before saying they were just playing. He tried to file a formal complaint, but never heard back.
All I heard is, freeze, get out the car. Put your MF hands up before I blow your heads off. Both of you, get out the car. So put your hands up. So I put my hands up, and one of the officers proceeded to come to the car, and he physically pulled me out by my shoulder with a gun no more than a foot away from my head.
Cornell McKinney says he could get no response to his complaints to police internal affairs over how he was stopped without reason. His story is now getting national attention after the dramatic video of Scorpion officers seeming to do the same thing to Tyre Nichols and going even further.
And I was like, that's them. I said, that's crazy. That's them. I said, now they don't really hurt somebody. This could have been prevented if the internal affairs took action like I was asking them to do.
Welcome back to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It's time for the weather. We're in for a cold one this morning when temperatures will start out at minus 18 degrees Celsius and climb to a high of minus 11 degrees Celsius by the afternoon. The overnight will hold at a steady minus 12 degrees Celsius. Thursday daytime will bring some relief with a warming snow and minus 2 degrees Celsius. However, the overnight will drop to an even colder minus 21 degrees Celsius under cloudy skies. Friday will be frigid cold with a daytime high of minus 21 degrees Celsius. Please find shelter inside for the overnight or go to the Summerland, squirrel friends, because Friday night the low will be minus 29 degrees Celsius. At such low temperatures, there might be a risk of frostbite. Saturday will be mainly sunny, with a few cloudy periods and a high of minus 22 degrees Celsius. The overnight low will be minus 24 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be cloudy with snow throughout the day and a high of minus 1 degree Celsius. The low overnight will be minus 3 degrees Celsius, with a chance of flurries in the evening. Monday will be mainly sunny with a few cloudy periods and a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius. The evening and overnight will be cloudy with a low of minus 10 degrees Celsius. Finally, Tuesday will be cloudy in the morning, then snowy in the afternoon with a high of freezing. The overnight will be partly cloudy with a snow throughout the night and a low of minus 3 degrees Celsius. And that's the weather on the New Spins Library.
Crying. No aguanta chango, sonó la alarma, K.O., K.O. La injusticia de siglos serán reveladas. La educación es arma, al pueblo no te engaña. Súmate entonces a esta noble batalla. Vamos creciendo con fuerza, ni derecha ni de izquierda. Aquí se sude raza, llegó la nueva era. El puño en alto por las calles, vamos caminando. La gente de la tierra hoy toma las riendas. Hicieron humillarnos, enterrarnos, aplastarnos. Oye, mira qué alegría, éramos semilla. Tu mente racional, matar, dividir y conquistar. Como el patriarcado, eso pasó de moda. Robarle al pobre pa' tu bolsillo poder llenar. Déjame decirte que, ja, no estás en nada. La ñuque mapu se defiende como hueso santo. Y vete a la mierda con tu Monsanto.
Steroid, an aboriginal native, only trying to do better, empower my people, but don't get negative. They with our image, but we keep continuing, living the daily, struggling, only for pain and suffering. Not a good thing to money, nothing good time me squirt. Every day we live, another day is gone. Feeling drained, ain't nobody calling for my name. I remain the unknown, protecting my homeland.
So I prove to myself, no quit, I will continue to walk forward like my ancestors always meant to. No man status, moving like the habitat. But even after that, I act like the bad and civil savage too. Sometimes it's got me thinking, sit down and wondering how come I'm lucky enough to breathe in, since I avoided the outcome. No stereotypical engine, look at the man that I outrun. Too tired of playing the victim, so you make the music about one.
Stop you now. We climb the mountain. Have you ever been on a terrifying theme park ride, about to plummet over the edge and thought, why the hell am I doing this? Well, strap in as we look at why humans love roller coasters.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, beautiful listener, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that answers the mysteries of the world in 15 or so minutes.
Have you ever wondered if plants have feelings?
Or why most black cats have a white spot?
Or how much wood a woodchuck would actually chuck if it could indeed chuck wood?
If you've wondered the answer to any of those questions, then good news, you've come to the right place. We've answered those, and we're about to answer one more.
So step into the cubicle with us as we answer, why do humans love roller coasters?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This week's question comes from Bavin Whelan, and she's asked us why people like roller coasters. Good question.
Bavin is a fantastic listener. She gets in contact with us often.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's studying abroad, is she?
She is...
Did she say she was studying some sort of physics?
Yeah, she's studying astrophysics.
Astrophysics abroad. So, Bavin, thank you so much for sending in the question and for being an amazing listener. We really, really, really appreciate you, and we hope that you enjoy this episode.
Okay, so, yeah, she's asked us why people like roller coasters.
It's an absolutely fair question. Like, roller coasters scare the living Jesus out of me, and Marcus absolutely loves them.
They genuinely do, right? I've always loved roller coasters ever since I was like tall enough to get onto them. I remember like begging my parents to let me to go on roller coasters as a kid, right? And I love the feeling. But Taz, on the other hand, we went to Disneyland a few years ago for Taz's birthday, and she was terrified of everything. She was scared of the teacups.
Wait. Okay, Disneyland was sold to me, you know. Disney characters, Minnie Mouses, everything in the shape of Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse lollipops, Mickey Mouse pancakes, loads of fun and friendship, running, frolicking around, getting Minnie Mouse ears. And next thing you know, I'm on this mad roller coaster going through space, what it would seem like. And it was scary, Marcus. It was scary.
Yeah, but the teacups aren't scary.
The teacups, you know, they go relatively fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And?
Okay, but in all honesty, I did love the teacups.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, to be fair.
I just don't know if I like the fear and anticipation of it. Like, in the 10 seconds before it goes off, that's when I'm like, oh no, what did I do?
What you said just there kind of leads perfectly into the reason why we all love a bit of a thrill.
Fear and anticipation. What could be fun about that?
So, fear isn't always a bad thing when you think about it, right?
The only thing to fear... is fear itself.
And roller coasters.
Yes,
there you go. Like, no, obviously fear, we associate that with danger, but fear is the body's response to perceived danger, right?
Okay.
And generally triggers the release of a whole cascade of chemicals which prepares you to either run or face the danger.
So sort of like fight or flight, which we've talked about a few times in this podcast.
That's exactly it, fight or flight. Which, do you know what, actually, I've talked about this before, but if this is your first time listening to In the Shower, I used to keep chickens in the city centre of Dublin. They eventually got consumed by a fox.
Rest in peace, Marcus is shedding a tear.
But one of the things that's actually really interesting is, like, chickens have a third option. They're the only animal I know of that have a third option of fight or flight, which is just to die. Like, sometimes chickens will be in a dangerous situation and they will just die. Seriously. But what upsets me about that whole thing is that they're birds. They have the options of both fight and flight. But they just choose to die. But anyway, fight or flight, basically, yeah, in terrifying, dangerous situations, your body prepares for extreme response by kicking in a load of brain chemicals, which can make you have more energy, not feel as much pain, and it can actually shut down things like critical thinking, basically to just survive. But when you take survival out of the equation...
To be honest, feeling highly energised sounds pretty fantastic to me.
I mean, can you imagine? Like, loads of energy, no pain, and zero critical thinking. It basically turns you into a toddler again. And who doesn't want that, right? The chemicals that are released are basically like a superdose of the same ones that you feel when you're happy or excited or in other highly arousing situations, if you know what I mean.
So what exactly is the difference between the fear you feel on a roller coaster and the fear you feel when you're like facing down a bear fighting for your life?
I wonder if how many people actually like fight bears every year. But anyway, the all important, yeah, that's for another episode. The all important difference here lies in the context to in which you're feeling the fear, right? If there's a bear in front of you, then yeah, you're going to get all of those hormones and adrenaline, but you're also going to be fighting a bear trying to survive. So, you know, not great. But if you've just strapped into like Thunder Mountain Express in a theme park, that element of real danger is slightly pushed to one side. And we can just enjoy the natural high that getting out of your comfort zone provides.
So basically, roller coasters make you high.
In a very basic sense, a controlled sense of danger in a safe space gives us all the thrill of a dangerous situation with none of the actual danger. But there's more to it than that. Getting through to the end of a terrifying experience can give you a great boost of self-esteem.
Interesting.
Similar to achieving any kind of challenges that you set for yourself, except in this case, the perceived challenge is just survival.
Wow, you come out of it really and you're just like,
I did it, I survived. Like, I remember in Disneyland, I forced you onto Space Mountain. You were like, no, 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 no. And by the end of it, you felt great.
That is really, really interesting, because there's so many experiences, even, you know, like even getting into the really cold sea where you're, even my mind is already jumping to what happens when I get out. Like, I'm going to feel so much better after I do it. That's exactly. so interesting. So basically, humans love roller coasters because it's doing something terrifying in essentially a safe context. And that makes all the difference. But there's no real threat of injury or death, so we...
Yeah, you still get the same rush out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but when you actually think about it, like, shark diving, haunted houses, like, all of those things, like, even stuff like adrenaline sports, scuba diving, base jumping, so many of those kind of trade on that slightly less dangerous sense of danger.
So,
yeah. That's
living life on the edge, man.
As a final thing, fear brings us together. Generally, when you think about it, we get on roller coasters with people we love. We get on roller coasters with friends, with family. We get a photo of it in the end. And coming through a fearful experience can bond people at a really primal level.
This is Marcus selling Space Mountain to me again.
Do you want to go again?
Please.
All right. So yeah, that's basically why humans love roller coasters.
That's very, very interesting. Any sort of roller coaster fear, fun, flight facts to end the episode?
I've got two, right? Do you want to go with a fact about fear or a fact about roller coasters?
Fear.
Okay, starting with fear. Have you ever heard of Australia? Of course you've heard of Australia. So
what is this Australia thing?
So there's a jellyfish that's kind of terrifyingly common off the coast of Australia.
Okay.
Called the Irukandji jellyfish.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
And if it stings you, it can cause something called Irukandji syndrome.
Wow, it has its own syndrome.
It has its own syndrome. And one of the... So it has all of the usual things that can be associated with box jellyfish stings, which can be, you know, cardiac arrest, death, spasm. But the unique thing about Irukandji syndrome is that it can give anyone who's stung a sense of extreme fear or impending doom.
Oh, God, that's horrific.
Do you want to hear the even more scary thing?
Yeah.
It's about the size of a peanut and almost invisible in daylight.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, Australia, that's terrifying.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Glad we went with that one first. Okay, roller coaster fact.
Okay, right. This one's actually pretty cool. And this one spoke to me, right? So I'm half French and going on roller coasters. And going on roller coasters. Okay. But you know what the word for roller coasters is in French?
What?
Montagne russe, which means Russian mountains.
Ah.
So this
montagne
is...
Montagne russe.
Montagne russe.
Montagne russe.
Which, like, I always looked at roller coasters, I was like, listen, these are neither mountains or Russian, like, France, what are you up to? But this is the crazy thing. If all countries were as cold as Russia, roller coasters might not exist, right? So in the 17th century, Russians used to freeze water over a tall wooden structure to make an ice ramp, to which riders would sit on blocks of wood stuffed with straw and slide down. Wanted to join in the fun, but realised it was impossible because of the warmer climate that's found in France. However, they got around that by adding wheels to the sledges that they would have used in winter. to use a track for the ride around 1817, creating the first modern roller coaster.
Wow!
There you have it.
In the show with Tazimarcus, 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 in the show with Tazimarcus.
So there you have it, Bevan. Bevan.
Thank you so much for sending in that question and for sending in a few questions, actually.
Mm-hmm. And sending in a picture of a dog as well, which
is
always,
we always appreciate.
Always big bonus points for that. But that was a really fun episode to research. I really want to go on a roller coaster now.
Even I do.
Absolutely.
But everyone else, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. We appreciate you dedicating your ears to us for the last 15 or so minutes. If you are like Bevan and have a question that you would like us to research and answer and give you all of our findings in a bite-sized little chunk, then you can do so.
It's very easy. If you want to get in touch with us with a question or a dog picture or just to say hello or anything like that, you can get us on Facebook. Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, or Instagram. Just search In the Shower Pod. Same with Twitter.
If you want to send a question or a message or just a hello to our email address, it's intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
If you like what we're doing, please tell your friends, tell your podcast buddies, tell your granny, tell your colleagues. That would be really cool.
Believe it or not, that's how podcasts spread. It's through word of mouth. So if you just tell one other person that you enjoyed this, that would mean an awful lot to me and my little ginger friend Marcus over there.
That's me.
Next week's episode.
Next week's episode is a really good one. It's infectious. It's an earworm.
It's an earworm, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Next week's episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus asks, why do songs get stuck in our head?
That episode's going to be ready in time for your morning shower next Monday. But in the meantime, keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Stay on track. Whoa, yeah. Life's a tough nut. Yeah. Hard to crack.
Uh-huh.
We all know that.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Whoa, yeah.
Choose wisely. Never look back.
Gotta do the right thing. Up to you to decide. Keep track. Don't lose sight. Figure out where your mind is. Receive and you give. Got to stick with positive.
Whoa, whoa.
Gotta do the right thing. Up to you to decide. But try to look inside. Be sure to get to the right end. Otherwise we're not friends, you're not invited. Choose the good side.
Yeah, trust me, I know what I'm worth. I'm the shiny ruby, you the dirt.
Mm-mm.
Say one thing, do another in the next. I might change, depends on context. I know I can get a little clumsy. Stuff from the past that comes back to haunt me. Should learn from my mistakes. I'm a chess piece. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Cicada coming through. So and such be the click. We at the rendezvous. Kushta, early rise. More time spent awake. More time spent cooking. I'm done with the bake. Keep a clear mind. Chase the baseline. Hold my back free. No sneak up from behind. Cards on the table. Transparency through. Let your mind run free.
Let your mind run free.
Simple, can't you see?
Can't you see?
It's all make believe.
Oh,
oh. Don't get hung up, deceptive.
Deceptive.
It's all matter of perspective.
Perspective.
Don't be afraid to change your ways. Stay humble, you will find your place. It's up to you to change. Free as the bird, break free from the chains.
Do the right thing. Up to you to decide. Keep track, don't lose sight.
Lose sight.
Figure out where your mind is. Receive and you give. Got to stick with positive.
Whoa, whoa.
Gotta do the right thing. Up to you to decide. But try to look inside.
Look inside.
Be sure you get to the right end. Otherwise we're not friends. You're not invited. Choose the good side.
Join Cinema Politica for a winter screening series. Every Monday evening,
7 o'clock in H110 at Concordia's Hall Building. Our winter 2023 program responds to the conservative rejection of society's ability to thrive, grow, and develop. Instead, we show the voices of those within social movements confronting ableism, systemic racism, heteropatriarchy, and many other intersectional struggles. We invite you to join us every Monday at 7 p.m. throughout the winter and spring at Concordia University in the Hall Building, 1455 de Maisonneuve West, room H110. More info, cinemapolitica.org. This screening series is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
love keeps taking me there. Come and laugh, nothing can stop all what you've done to me.
That wraps it up for the New Spins Library for this week. Terminal 5 and the Sleepy King are up next. Keep listening to CKUT. And have a great day out there.
Sleepy King starts now.